We're going to soak up some of the atmosphere for just a second. Oh, my God. Bear, I'm nervous. Oh, I'm shaking.
Yeah, you were nervous.
I'm shaking.
Cheese Dallas dealt it. Other than that one freaky typhoon-induced home run that I heard about, I like the way we played tonight. Workmanlike effort, Russ. Workmanlike effort.
Let's throw the blade out there and finish this thing tomorrow at 3 o'clock, man.
Look at that, Russ.
What in the world was Paul Maneri thinking?
These guys sometimes outsmart themselves. That's why, I don't know, maybe he had a senior moment, Russ. You know what I mean?
I mean, we are dead in the water, man. We can't touch that dude.
Mm-mm.
Hilliard's just setting us down left and right, and he pulls him for no reason in the seventh inning.
Yeah, Hilliard's got some – he's nasty. That crowd does not look the same to me as it did last weekend.
There were a lot more
– The jewelry rattlers. Hey, I got a picture of Jimmy Coach's shorts in the house tonight.
LSU fans in there, yeah. Oh, man.
Way too many LSU fans.
It's going to take it's going to take me a second to
– Eat that, T-Bob A-Bear. Eat it, boy.
I got to settle down and get my wits about me, Bear. Are you okay? Are we good?
I'm
Are we good
fine.
Here?
I'm telling you, I don't get nervous with these guys. It's very similar to how I felt in the 90s numerous times with the football team. I expect a win. Even when it was 2-1, Hilliard was dealing. I felt like at any moment these guys can – and they did what they've done all year. You can hold these guys down for only so long, and if you do something stupid like pull your pitcher who's been dealing and put in a freshman – and the biggest spot in the biggest game of the season, you get what you get.
You get what you get.
I mean,
it's
just like, I mean, is that not like just dumping buckets of blood in the water? In shark infested waters, are you going to throw a freshman?
If he doesn't pull that pitcher, dude, we might have lost, man. I mean,
yeah.
he had complete game stuff. He was setting us down. We were not touching him.
No.
Oh, man. Wow. What a game.
But, again, I expect to win these kinds of games. That's why I'm such a staunch Vitello supporter. Holy shit, I didn't realize that NC State beat Arkansas.
Yep.
Wow.
Arkansas fell today in game two of that series, so it's a winner-take-all game three tomorrow. But we don't care about that. We don't care about that. What we care about right now is getting this W here tonight. Tennessee defeats LSU tonight. 4-2 as the Volunteers had to grind it out, man. Just like Bear said, a workmanlike grind it out W as the Volunteers prevail. A game two is tomorrow, 3 p.m. at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Go back and look at some of the key moments here today. First of all, LSU jumps on top with a solo home run early in the ball game as it was pouring rain in the second inning out of nowhere. It's been
sweltering. So what happened with that? Because, like, I did not get to watch the first couple innings.
All right, so in the second inning, it started raining. And I mean pouring rain. And I got to say, I'm really shocked that they didn't stop the game. Because we knew that it was just a pop-up thunderstorm, it was going to pass, right? There's no worry about not getting the game in tonight, right?
Right.
And I was surprised at how hard it rained. I thought, okay, it's sprinkling. It's a summer shower. You can first force your way through that. I mean, it started pouring rain in the second inning, almost reminiscent of that LSU football game in 2017 when Brady Hoke decided to play football in the midst of a full-on gale over at Neyland Stadium.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
And so –
But it was a storm like that.
Solo home run off Chad Dallas in the second inning in just a monsoon. And they stopped the game for a little bit, touched up the mound around the mound, started playing again. It stopped raining. Somebody took a picture from I-40 during the storm, and they were – headed I-40 eastbound near Westtown Mall.
Okay.
Right? So you know how you can see downtown?
Yeah, it was just all over the stadium.
It was it was like a perfect cylinder right over campus.
Yeah.
And that's all
that's happened a couple of times, famously. The 92 Tennessee game, that storm, that whole storm cell was directly over campus.
Really, really strange stuff. And then apparently there's lightning. So it's like football. You have to have an half an hour of no lightning.
Well, yeah. I mean, you can't fool around with that. Not on a baseball field.
And so you had a long break. Tennessee's down 1-0. You get back after the break. Tennessee's able to manufacture a run to tie it up in the fourth. And then we go to the fifth inning, and Dallas gives up two hits to start the inning. We're in a jam here. Runners on first and second, nobody out.
Right.
Pavlone, with a throwing error, throws it into left field to get a run home. It's 2-1 with runners on second and third and nobody out. And Dallas was able to work his way out of that jam. That was, aside from the bottom of the sixth when we scored three runs, getting out of that jam.
Top of the fifth and the
with
bottom.
Only one run, that was the biggest moment of the game. That was huge.
Man, that guy's done it all year long. I mean, he's gotten himself, because we always, you've heard me. That's one of my big questions. Does Tony Vitello give these guys too long of a leash sometimes? But now I'm sitting here wondering, well, is it good that he let those guys work out of jams during the regular season now?
Yeah. Well, the other side of that is Paul Maneri. And the turning point of the game was the bottom of the sixth inning. We had the top of the order coming up. And Mikel Hilliard is just through five, lights out. And they make a pitching change for some unknown reason. They bring in a lefty, Coleman. He comes in, gets the first batter out, strikes out Liam Spence. And then Tennessee's able –
all hell broke loose.
We only had two hits. You had an error, a couple of weird plays. And Tennessee's able to score three runs in the bottom of the sixth to take a 4-2 lead.
Oh,
and
hell,
that held out. And they were able to make it stand up the rest of the way.
Yeah, that could have been a whole lot worse too.
Yeah. Well, we had Pavlone batting with the
bases loaded
there. I mean, it felt like that was a chance to emphatically slam the door shut. But
I guess going forward, those are the kinds of things. If you want to win a World Series, when when Pavlone's up but the bases loaded, and you've already lit a freshman up like that, you got to take that one out. And that's the difference between Arkansas and Tennessee.
We made some mistakes too. I mean, we're far from a perfect team, man. Mm. But it's just this team believes, man, and they just grind, and the fans believe, and it's an awesome scene. What a scene over there, man. If you're on Twitter, you saw some of the videos and pictures before the game.
How crazy was it before the game down there? How many people you think were outside?
At least 5,000.
Really?
I mean, like, before the game? I mean, because there's 5,000 in the stadium. Oh. But, yeah, I mean, there were thousands of people there. It looked like
a block party.
It looked like a full-on madhouse. I mean, it looked like football tailgating.
That's kind of what I feel like it should be.
Let's talk about it, man. The first ever baseball voluntary reaction. We'd love to hear from you.
I mean, Russell, it is June 12th on a Saturday at roughly 10 till 11 o'clock at night. And we're getting ready to
– Yeah, I'm just glad we didn't go extra innings. 865-546-8200. We're taking your calls here, folks. You said you wanted a voluntary reaction for baseball. You said this is what you wanted. Here we are. So y'all better call in or we're going home. 865-546.
Yeah, we could sit and text. Yeah, could sit and text each other about the game.
546-8200. Y'all wanted it. Here we are. We're doing the thing. Voluntary reaction, late night, Saturday edition in Big Orange Country as the Vols one win away from Omaha. Say it with me, Bear. Omaha. Omaha.
How's Peyton say it? Omaha.
No, don't say it like Peyton. Let's leave Peyton. We love you, Peyton, but we're leaving
Peyton out of this.
Yeah. All right. Chubbs in Georgia. is Chugs. Up first. Chugs in Georgia. He's not missing a hand. What's up, Chugs?
Hey, Russell Bear. It's good to hear you guys again. I mean, first and foremost, thanks guys for doing this. Feels a little weird doing a voluntary reaction.
It's kind of weird. Kind of weird, isn't it?
It is finally. I'm so glad that we actually have a team, you know, to really get behind. And Tony Vitello, man, it just something's different, you know. It just seems it's really good to actually have a Tennessee team that's, you know, you're proud of, and it's something that hasn't been. You know, there's not been anything like that in hell. I mean, probably the last 10, 15 years, you know. So I'm not a huge baseball fan, but I'm really starting to get behind these boys, and it's been real fun.
Oh, man, it's been a blast all season long. And this is what we had in mind when we started voluntary reaction in 2017 for football. This is what it was supposed to be like. We're coming on after big wins. We're high-fiving. We're celebrating. We're talking about the next game. We're breaking it down. And, of course, well, you know what football voluntary reaction has been like. It's a little bit different. So this is I like this. Coming on after a win, celebrating, feeling good about ourselves. This is the way it's supposed to be.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's definitely unfamiliar territory. But, honestly, I think it looked really good. I think if Hillard stays in, we're having probably a different conversation. Why do you guys think they retired him after, you know, what, I think it was five innings?
I don't know, man. I don't know. And he hadn't thrown that many pitches. I want to say he was in the 80s somewhere on his pitch count.
I mean, there's no way he's thinking that he's gonna he could get out of there with a win tonight, and I mean, thinking that he's going to use him again by Monday, is he?
I mean,
that kid had thrown six in, you know. I mean, he was closing in on triple-digit pitches.
He threw 76 pitches.
That's it?
He threw 76 pitches.
Was he saving the kid's arm for next year when he's in the majors?
He's just mowing us down, man.
I guess in two more years.
And they bring in Coleman, and he gives up three earned runs in three innings, two
innings. That just looked to me like that was a bad spot to throw that kid out there. You're playing the number two, number three team in the nation, super regional, and your guy was dealing.
Do y'all know how good is the rest of the bullpen going into tomorrow?
For who?
For LSU.
I mean, that's one of the things. Yeah. That was Burke on the call, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, I mean
that
guy,
was one of the things Burke and the other guy were saying was that by, you know, they didn't really use up their bullpen, so
they lost the game.
Yeah,
like you're in this is the super regionals, man, and people who just watch Major League Baseball don't understand. Like R.A. Dickey threw 160 pitches in a single game in a super regional many years ago. You bring in LSU did it last weekend where you pitch a guy Friday, you pitch him again Monday. You do what you have to do, man. If you have to pitch a guy two consecutive days, you do that. You win the game.
Who is that? That's who's starting tomorrow for them, right?
Marceau starts tomorrow. He's their ace. And I'm assuming we will go with Tidwell, who has been, I would argue, our best pitcher the last 3 or 4 weeks. So got to lock it down tomorrow, man. Big opportunity. To answer your question, Chugs, they still have Fontenot as their closer, who obviously they didn't get to him. So,
I wonder if he's related to Marie Fontenot.
So, I mean, they've got him coming in. You know, he's fresh, so they still got him. But I mean, we've got Camden Sewell, who's kind of our. I would imagine we would see him in some sort of long relief tomorrow if the situation calls for it, and then. God forbid we have to play again Monday. It's Johnny Fullstaff. You just, like I said earlier, you do what you have to do. Heflin would start.
What do you guys think we're going to be able to? How do you think we're going to do against their ace tomorrow?
I don't know. We had somebody on the drive this week Actually, it may have actually been T-Bob Hebert, and said that there was some questions with how much he'd have left in the tank come this weekend after pitching, basically, you know, making
pitched
two
a lot last week. Yeah, yeah. He's had, I guess, 5 days rest, so he should be juiced up and ready to go. My thing is, I feel like our guys, and we saw this last week against Wright State, where it took the bats a while to wake up, and I just feel like hopefully, you know, our guys are all juiced up. It's been an emotional week. Everybody's up for it, the atmosphere, and hopefully everybody gets a good night's sleep and comes back and kind of relaxes, and we can hit better tomorrow. But I don't know. I mean, he's a good pitcher, man. He's going to be tough. But you make him throw a bunch of pitches, and we try and get into the bullpen, and we try and hit it hard, knowing that we've got our guy Tidwell going too, and he's going to be just as tough for them to deal with as their guy is for us to deal with.
Yeah, I really hope we can pull it out. How do you think Philly's feeling right now? What did he call Tennessee to lose? We were going to lose today, right?
Yeah, Philly, he's one of those weird
– he said lose the series.
Reverse psychology kind of fan. Like, he gets it in his head that if he says they're going to lose, he thinks they're going to lose, then he doesn't jinx them.
Well, thanks, Bear and Russell. It's really good to hear you guys in June, and hopefully we can continue this momentum.
One more.
Let's do this.
Omaha,
yeah.
We're coming.
Omaha.
All the way. Russ and Rick in the van, me and Rusty in the jet.
Thank you, Chugs. Appreciate it. Lars is next. 865-546-8200, your number to get on Voluntary Action. What's up, Lars?
What up, Russell?
Hey, buddy.
What up, Bear?
Long time no talkie, my man.
Just thought I'd call in and see what shenanigans you were getting into on a Saturday night.
Just breathing a big sigh of relief right now. Drinking from the keg of glory, Lars.
I drink from the keg of glory. And there's somebody on the drive earlier this week had a nice one, too. What was it? The
Chalice of Victory?
Chalice of Champions?
The keg of glory.
Yes.
Chalice of Champions. That's what it is. Dude, when was the last time we had a meaningful win on a Saturday night? Think about that.
Probably Josh Dobbs or Rick Barnes was involved. I don't know.
Yeah, no, okay. An outdoor sport on a Saturday night. But much less beating LSU. No, man, this is fun. I don't really have too much to say about it. You know, Tony Vitello is doing for me what Bruce Pearl did for basketball, which is, you know, a cliche at this point. Everyone's saying it. But I'm just enjoying the ride, man. This is fun. I've never experienced anything quite like this. So this is different.
It's been a great ride, man. You just buckle in.
It has been a great ride.
Hold on with both hands. Hold on tight.
Hold on tight. Keep your cups on because we are Tennessee. Like let's just resurface here for a second. Let's ground, okay? Like I'm as optimistic as anyone. We should close this thing out tomorrow, but I'm never taking my cup off. Never. And I think Bear would agree with me on this.
Man,
you never take it off, dude. I learned my lesson. A long time ago. You never take it off.
We're in good shape with these guys, man. I mean, I don't know that this is a national championship caliber team. I wouldn't put it past them, but I'm not expecting all that. But
I expect us, and I said earlier in the season on the drive, I feel like we're a World Series caliber team.
We've won game one at home, the Super Regional. I feel good about the chances. I'm not going to chisel it in stone just yet. I'm not going to jinx it, but feel good right now.
No, definitely. Not going to chisel it in stone. I will say this, though. Like I said, I'm a very casual baseball fan. Emphasis on casual. But here's just a couple of other things that we need to have happen in a completely different realm. And we may be getting too far ahead of ourselves, but I'm just going to say it out loud. We really need NC State to beat Arkansas tomorrow. And we need somebody to take care of Vanderbilt. And that's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. If those two things happen, and if we can pass LSU, I think we could be having a lot of fun here sooner than later. And that's it. So anyway, I'll leave that for food for thought. But no, it's good chatting with you guys. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you soon.
Lars, good to hear from you, my friend. Thanks for jumping on board. Have yourself an excellent evening. 865-546-8200. Your number to get up with us on the first ever baseball voluntary reaction. Of course, Vandy already punched their ticket. Isn't it weird that they punched their ticket to Omaha before we'd played a single game?
Yeah. They've gotten – I'm telling you, man, I was talking with somebody earlier today. They really took care of them, the NCAA did. I don't think I said it on the show yesterday. I was talking to you, for God's sakes. Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely they did. I mean, it's, you know, the blue, they got the blue hose, and then they got Eastern Carolina, and they've got the best 1-2 in college baseball. So
I just think it's odd that, I know it's only, you only have to win two, and they did it. I mean, that's fine, but it just feels like they played yesterday. Our series started today. It seems like maybe we should have played earlier in the day. I know this doesn't matter, but it just seems weird to me that they're already popping the champagne bottles, doing a keg stand on the keg of glory, and we haven't even begun our series yet.
Yeah, but you know what? I kind of feel like our team are primetime players, baby. I like watching our guys in those 7 o'clock starts. And the lights come on. So what time's first pitch tomorrow?
3 o'clock. Who's the Buster? You're on voluntary reaction. Keep things rolling here on Fan Run Radio. Hey, Buster.
Russell, there.
We got one down, Buster. One down. Omaha, here we come.
I'm looking forward to hearing you guys doing remotes out there. I'm happy for you. Hopefully.
Hopefully. We're working on it. We've had some hiccups. It's a long story. We'll talk about it next week on the drive. But
logistics is always logistics.
As long as the team is there, that's all that matters.
True. Hey, you know what? If you just can make the batting practice on Friday, that's priceless. I saw Todd Helton in 2005 on my way to a family vacation out in Yellowstone, and that was fun. It's at the old ballpark. So that's something to think about. Listen, now I understand that we win tomorrow, but that's win number 50. And also, my wife just called me as I was coming back from the game. She said she just heard that they changed start time to 9 p.m. I couldn't believe it would be at 9 p.m.
For tomorrow?
But yeah, she said she heard it. I said, well, I've not heard anything yet.
Hold on. I looked this up. I could have sworn I saw the announcement earlier before our game even started that it was 3 p.m.
Unless somebody's been losing and all these things are sweeping out, maybe they're looking for a prime time game, and I know we are the prime time operation. Hey, there's a ton of LSU fans there. Those four extra tickets from the donors really made a difference for LSU tonight. I swear to God, on the first base side, that was Bilar Purple.
There was a big section. Usually how it works is the upper right corner above their dugout is all – not all, but they've got a big chunk of away tickets. That's the way it was during the regular season.
True.
So they had that tonight, but there was also a big cluster of a couple dozen, it looked like, LSU fans kind of almost above our dugout down the first baseline.
And somebody sold their tickets that they got when they gave the big money boosters.
Yep.
They sold blocks of tickets for a ridiculous price. Greed.
Well,
Corporate greed, buddy.
Hope it doesn't happen again. All right, guys, have a good show. Thanks for having
me. Thank you, Buster.
That's going to happen tomorrow because they sold those things as books, I bet.
People are telling me it's that's weird. I got one message that said it's 3 p.m. tomorrow, definitely not 9. And then somebody else just sent me from NCAA.com, Tennessee LSU, 9 p.m. tomorrow. This is from NCAA.com just a few moments ago.
They can't run that game at Sunday night on it at 9 p.m.?
They can't. Late night at Lindsay. I mean, how nuts do you want to get, man? Are those people a chance to just spend all day? Go to church. Have a nice meal with the family. Go home. Change out of your good clothes. Get on.
No, I thought you were talking about LSU fans.
Put on some orange.
Go to church.
Put on some orange. Head on down to Lindsay Nelson for the big orange block party. And spend about 6 hours drinking lighter fluid. And then we'll go in there and blow the roof off that place.
I don't know. I'm trying not to get pissed about that whole ticket situation.
It adds to the atmosphere. I don't care. You play it at 3, you play it at 9. Here, there, half LSU fans, it don't matter. As long as we got Tony freaking Vitellico in that home team dugout, I'll ride with those guys. Tony Vitello would not have pulled that dude after 5 innings pitch. What
Hell
is
Maneri no.
thinking?
With 70 pitches under his belt, 76? I mean, where did Cheese end up at? He ended up in the 90s, didn't he?
Yeah, he was close to 100. 99 pitches for the Cheese today.
I know you quote, you know, Delmonico was known for – I mean, I think there was somebody, if it wasn't the – unless you had the R.A. Dickey pitch count wrong from what you were talking about earlier, there was – I saw something earlier on Twitter where they had a Tennessee pitcher back in those days going for like 180 pitches. I kind of feel like – I mean, wouldn't that destroy their arm?
I mean, it happens. You do it. You do what you got to do, man. No, back in the day, you used to have a starting pitcher. You pitched every day. What do they say? Satchel Paige used to pitch just 100 pitches a day, 5 days a week. They're a tougher breed back then.
Tougher breed.
They had the chains and the sledgehammers back before Konzo Martin even knew what that was all about. Let's keep things rolling. Voluntary reaction. Joe is next. What's up, Joe?
What's up, Russell? What's up, Bear?
Broseph, what's up?
Oh, great win for the Vols. Loving it. I've been at Harrah's Cherokee Casino. Awesome. My boy turned 21 2 days ago. Brought 3 friends there, and we laid down a $100 bet, -1.5, and it cashed in.
Nice. I like it. I like it, Joe. Joe's feeling it. Joe's in the money.
We're in the money, and we're going to Omaha. Tomorrow night, we're going to hammer them 5-1.
5-1, you're calling the shot?
Calling the shot.
I'll take it. I will take it right now. I'll take 1-0 right now.
Me too. Boom. Have a good night, guys.
Thanks, Joe. Good to hear from you. Be safe out there. Joe calling in from the casino. Today, he's having a big old time. 865-546-8200, your number to get up on the voluntary reaction as Tennessee defeats LSU today 4-2. Now I'm being told 3 p.m. tomorrow. Surely not 9 p.m. That does seem a little bit late.
It's way too late.
Volunteer strike for 3 runs in the bottom of the 6th, and it was scoreless the rest of the way. LSU actually out-hits the Volunteers 8-6. Tennessee with the one error of the game. Of course, Pavlone throwing the ball away in the top of the 5th allowed LSU to take a 2-1 lead that they would only hold for an inning. And I guess they don't give the third baseman for LSU an error on that play in the bottom of the 3rd where Gilbert hit a sharp ground ball to him, and he hesitated for a moment. Looked like he was going to try and apply the tag on Ferguson, who was running from 2nd, decides instead to throw to 3rd. And by the time he did, Gilbert was able to beat it out down the line to get to 3rd.
There were a couple of questionable plays. Our third base, Rucker, was really – I mean, it could have really jumped back and bit us in the ass towards the end of the game where he held on to that ball too long.
Mm-hmm.
Ended up not throwing the guy out at first.
It's a hard throw to make, man.
Yeah, that's why you throw it to 2nd first. You turn a double play out of it. You don't sit there and hold the damn ball.
Mm.
Have brain freeze.
I'll be honest, I was scrambling here behind the scenes. I did not see that play.
Yeah.
I heard you blowing a gasket over it.
Yeah, a little bit. Something about LSU, man. I mean, this. We got to ex. This is a weekend where, as an athletic department, we can exercise some demons.
Oh yeah. I mean, you just got to force your way through. To be the man, you got to beat the man. I know they did not have a great season this year, but they've got what we want, which is a college baseball dynasty. Right? I mean, yeah. They've got the huge stadium, the great atmosphere. They've got the tradition, the history, and everything. And we have this is a chance to take it from them. I tell you, it's the reverse 2001 SEC championship game. They stole our swag that day in the Georgia Dome.
Mm-hmm.
In the 2001 SEC championship game in football, we were never the same, and neither were they. People forget, you youngins out there, LSU, they weren't shit during the 1990s in football, man.
They were a joke.
They were an afterthought. Jerry DiNardo coached there, Curly Hallman, a bunch of clowns. I mean, every bit as inept and inefficient as we've been the last 10 years.
Before that, you have to go back to the guy they made the fucking movie about back in the 50s. Cannon?
Yeah.
Billy Cannon?
But they've been, well, they've got three national championships since 2001 in football. And this has a chance. Their coach is going out. They're pushing that dude out the door. They don't know who they're going to hire. We've got a chance to steal their swagger in this sport. We've got a chance to take their spot, to be the team that goes to Omaha all the time and runs this league. But we got to find another win. We got to find one more. Back to the phones we go. Ross is up next. Hello, Ross. You're on Voluntary Reaction.
Evening, gentlemen. This is an LSU fan. I'm here standing on the Sean Hunley Street Bridge. I think that's what you call it. Looking into the dark abyss below.
Oh, don't jump.
Swirling. No, I'm just kidding. I don't even know where where Louisiana is. But anyhow, so I've been a long-time listener, first-time caller. I've actually been with The Drive since the old T-Fair Where's the Donut days back there, if you remember.
Wow.
Way back when.
Back in the day. Ross, he's been there since the founding of the show. What's up, Ross?
Hey, I was listening back when I was in high school at the Knoxville Catholic High School there.
Fighting Irish.
But that's not what we're talking about. So
he was at the Butch Bowl back when it wasn't even the Butch Bowl. Back when Derek Dooley stalked to the sidelines.
That's Dorman Blaine Stadium, you jackass.
The Dooley
Dome. Get it right.
It's the Butch Bowl.
Bullshit.
Hey, it's still the nicest place in the city. That's West included. So just throwing it out there. But hey, that's not what we're talking about, Russell. Tonight we're talking about the fact that I get to call in and we are a winner. And I think this is absolutely incredible. I'm one of the youngsters here, obviously. That's never really seen any of our teams be good except for, you know, lies and choking when it all mattered. So, you know, this feels awesome, actually getting to see a team make a relevant run that actually matters in something that's, you know, not the regular season or something like that. We've actually got a team that can step up to the plate, knock it out of the park, even though we didn't do that tonight, but, you know, we won't mention that part. We won. And, you know, actually be entertaining. I find this really awesome. So, you know, and one of the things I want to say is, if you're an LSU fan tonight, this has got to hurt bad. Because not only did they have a phenomenal pitcher that they pulled for absolutely no conceivable reasoning except for whatever, you know, senile insanity is going on in Paul Marinara's hair head. And, you know, not only is that the fact, you know, we didn't really play that well. We didn't play incredibly at the top of our game here. We had Chad Dallas, you know, pitching out of his mind, sure, but a lot of those were really, really close. You know, they tend to be like that a lot of the time. But a lot of those were really close. And poor Pavloni, that was a tough game for him. You know, he had the only error of either team in the game in something that should have been an out for sure and instead scored a run. And then on top of that, you know, he stepped up to the plate and left a, you know, grand slam sitting there. Bases loaded and couldn't do anything with it. So feel a little tough for him, but what do you guys think about on that end? You know, I'll shut up for a second.
It's like the Wright State game, man. Remember, people, the grand slam wiped out all the problems from that game, the runners we left on base, the base running blunders, the errors, all the things we did wrong. Nobody's going to remember the Pavlone throwing error if we find another win tomorrow. But if we do get to Omaha, we got a lot of mistakes that we're going to have to clean up. If we run into this Ole Miss team that we're watching bend Arizona over a barrel and show them the 50 states right now, if we run into, obviously, Vanderbilt again, would be a very difficult game. It's going to be a little bit different, so you've got to figure out a way to kick it up a notch.
Yeah, I mean, I hate his guts, but Kamar Rocker isn't getting pulled in the sixth inning.
No.
If he's on 76 pitches and he's straight dealing it, and neither is Leiter.
Yeah, well, you know, we beat Jack Leiter's ass once this year, so
I'm not to get
cocky, but
yeah, we did. But, I mean, make no mistake, Vanderbilt to me they've got the best 1-2 in the country, and they're going to be a tough out for probably everybody besides Arkansas.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that's how they've been all year, and you've had Georgia make them look kind of, you know, pedestrian. But beyond that, nobody's really, really gotten to that pair of pitchers this year and made them hurt. So I think that's definitely something scary. I won't take too much of your time here, but I do want to thank you guys so much for coming in and giving us a voluntary reaction that isn't Davey Hudson and his $500 fee to come in and talk about a sport that he hasn't watched a game of this entire season, which has been utterly ridiculous. So now that I've got that call out of the way, thank you guys for taking your evening here.
Oh, no problem. Thank you.
And I'm just glad that we can talk about a victory and not, you know, hair dryers on guys' balls or bestiality like we have in some of the other voluntary reactions, you know? So let's get this shipment off to the retirement home for Marinara started. Get that done tomorrow and call this one a day. Hey, fellas.
Great to hear from you, Ross. Enjoy the evening.
Yeah, were you even aware that Hudson was wanting to charge people $500 to come in here and, I guess, babble drunken?
No takers to hear dumbass drunken Davey Hudson talk about a sport that he doesn't. Well, I can't believe that scheme didn't work.
A Duke fan that hasn't watched any UT games this year, so I don't know.
Yeehaw Vol on Twitter says, should everyone wear black and bring flowers tomorrow for the retirement party for Maneri? I'm not tempting fate.
No, we're showing up tomorrow to play a game of baseball.
I'm not tempting bad karma on this one. Now, if we win, I will pour some major salt in the wound and kick a man while he's down.
I've got a dump truck of rock salt that we're going to pour into it. If Blade Tidwell comes out and does what he's capable of doing tomorrow, and we close him out tomorrow, come Monday at 3 p.m., we're going to start packing salt in every wound on the LSU carcass.
I'm wearing gloves because I will be hanging on the rim for quite some time. But until then.
Game blouses.
Until then, I'm not wearing – first of all, it's going to be like 100 degrees at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I'm not going to wear black to the stadium. Second of all, I'm going to be right here ready to hang on the rim on the second ever baseball voluntary reaction. And third of all, I'm not tempting it. Not tempting fate. Let's get this win, and then we can pour salt in the wound and in the earth of where LSU baseball used to be. Wow. They used to have black jerseys. They used to have black jerseys. You could do that. And we will be the road team, so I imagine we will be donning the smoky grays tomorrow out there. But, again, we will see. Oh, the phone calls just keep on rolling. Voluntary reaction. Tennessee fans are feeling themselves. Shout out to you, Tennessee fans. That was awesome tonight, man. You guys were awesome. You were down there partying before the game. You were pre-gaming. You were tailgating. You were carrying the fight to LSU, and not even a rain delay, not even falling behind, not once but twice. None of it. You guys just kept bringing it 9 innings strong all day long there, and you deserve this. You deserve one more win and a trip to Omaha. Let's get Kevin in here. Kevin dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get Nate in here.
Nope. Sean.
Sean. All right. Let's get somebody in here. How about that? Sean, you're on Voluntary Reaction. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? I'm still here hanging out, a little bit into my cups tonight, but that's okay. I haven't watched this much baseball since the Cubs World Series run. And I think it was what really got my attention was, Russ, something you said probably 6 to 8 weeks ago about if you've never been around or you've never experienced an Omaha run, just sit tight because it is really exciting. And so far, you have been spot on, my friend.
I mean, the past three Omaha runs that we've had here that I've been fortunate enough to witness have been a lot of fun. This has taken it to another level because of Vitello and his connection with the fans, because of the team, the feistiness, because of the coverage that college baseball gets now that it didn't get 16 years ago, the last time we were in this position. It's always fun, but this is – I mean, we're all in uncharted territory here because, I mean, this is just – a wave of emotion, man, and you want to just keep riding it. Like Rusty Enzer said yesterday, you want to enjoy it. You want to enjoy the ride. It's hard to do when you're down 2-1 in the fifth inning, I know. But you just got to enjoy it, man, because it's probably never going to be like this again. This is a special team and a special run that we're all witnessing right now.
Well, let's hope that – let's not say never again. Let's hope Vitello's sticks around and we keep building this into something that becomes almost an expectation every year instead of the, you know, once in a while. But I had two questions. One, I was surprised that the announcers actually foreshadowed something that they called correctly earlier in the game when LSU had stolen the base. They said, you better be careful because you're going to slide through the base at some point and they're going to keep the tag on them. And then sure enough, about 4 or 5 innings later, that exact thing happened. And then where the hell does the nickname Cheese come from?
Well, you haven't caught that yet, Sean? I mean, they've only told the story like 5 times through the season.
And the announcers keep told missing it tonight, and I missed it.
Oh. So, apparently, and I've heard the story 5 times, and I don't remember it. There's some movie. Was it a football? Was it Little Giants?
I don't know.
There was some movie that was popular when he was a kid, which was, of course, like 10 years ago. But the kid in the movie walked around with a cheese can, a can of spray cheese, yelling something. And so he loved the movie and he started imitating that kid. And everybody started calling him Cheese when he was a little kid.
All right. Fair enough.
It's a weird story. Not even really a good one, if we're being honest. But it is a cool nickname, so we roll with it.
It's better than meat, that's for sure.
Meat.
Meat. It was fun. It's been fun. Tomorrow should be fun. There's no way they're playing that game at 9 o'clock tomorrow because I go to bed at 8, so it has to be at 3.
Yeah, I'm hearing more 3 p.m. Apparently that was just – I don't know why NCAA.com had that up, but we are all go for 3 p.m. tomorrow.
All right. And these dullards, whoever decided to sell tickets to all of the big money donors – I thought the atmosphere last weekend was 10 times better than the atmosphere
really
tonight.
Yeah. Now, that's just watching off TV, right?
Watching off the TV.
But you know what? Sometimes more opposing fans in the stadium creates more tension and adds to the atmosphere. In my opinion, I would love to hear from somebody who was at the game. So I know we've got some people who are hopping in their cars. I hope that they will give us a call at 865-546-8200 and help compare the two atmospheres for us.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a fair point. I know a lot of people that were at the game last weekend and tried their asses off to get tickets and couldn't do it and were frustrated and pissed just like most of the average person who was trying to get a ticket. But yeah, that's a good point.
So apparently the Cheese nickname comes from the Goofy movie, which I cannot say I'm familiar with.
Pauly Shore was a character named Cheese.
And
that makes it even cooler.
The last time you ever heard the name Pauly Shore.
So he's that can't be good.
VR.
All right, gentlemen, you guys keep up the good work. I'll keep listening as always.
Thank you. Thank you, Shawnee boy. I tell you about the time I met Pauly Shore, and he came into the radio station, music station I was working at about 10 years ago.
I think you did. Now, was this the one?
He's kind of an a-hole.
Okay, yeah, that's what I thought.
He was a big a-hole, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've got a friend that gets into fights with famous people.
He was not nice. He was a prick.
And I always get him, some of his stories confused with, like, this guy got into it with Jake Taylor from Major League, Tom Berenger.
That seems like a guy I wouldn't want to get in with. Maybe it's just the movie Platoon is seared on my conscience.
My other buddies that were with him said it was absolutely fucking hysterical. They said Berenger got like real pissed at, we call him Beatles Brian. He's got like a huge tattoo that just down his arm in the font that just says the Beatles.
The Beatles.
But he said something to Berenger's old lady. They said Berenger goes, I don't appreciate you talking saying that in front of my old lady.
Jake Taylor said that?
Yeah.
Was it Rene Russo?
No, it wasn't Rene Russo. So,
Tony Vitello says after the game tonight, quote, these kids have zero regard for my heart. It's just never easy.
Yeah, he looked pretty wound up there in the sixth inning especially. He was all crouched down.
During the rain delay, he says, I kept going to my assistants asking if I should say anything. They kept telling me to let the guys be, so I listened. That's got to be just – and you wonder – I know it's the same for – obviously, they've got a pitcher too. It didn't affect him. I don't think it affected Dallas, but those guys get so amped up. You go out there, you warm up, the game gets going, it starts pouring rain, and then you got to stop for –
So, I mean, what do you think they do with the – I mean, the pitchers, they put those warming sleeves on them, put them down at the end of somewhere, and then nobody goes near them, I would imagine. They just keep their arms warm and keep everybody – I'd keep everybody the hell away from him. Hopefully they stay in the zone.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, that's tough.
Well, and
it's tough in any sport.
Here's a weird thing I thought about, but, I mean, they're out there in the pouring rain, like you had to be soaked.
Yeah, and then you're human, and then you're going in the locker room. You're either cooling down or it's going to be a hot locker room.
It's going to be steamy, right?
Yeah.
And you probably – I don't know. Maybe they have backup uniforms that they can put on and change. Like, that would be my strong preference if I were a player.
Because
your clothes are soaked. You could at least take it off, let it air out.
I mean, I've seen the video. I cannot believe they were playing in that monsoon.
Well, I think they figured at first that it would pass quickly, which, I mean, it did, but it lingered a little bit longer than anybody thought, and it was harder than anybody thought. And I think the umpires are thinking, like, man, what the heck is going on here? Because, you know, they look at they know that it's possible, and they're thinking, okay, we're going to get hit, little sprinkle,
right.
We'll just play through it, it's no problem, but... And it starts sprinkling, and then it starts pouring, and you're like, okay, well, there's no way this lasts. But then it just keeps going for like 10 minutes. And eventually you had to shut it down. But, yeah, I would have changed my drawers, my socks, maybe my undershirt if I'm in there. Yeah, some dryers, some industrial-powered laundry dryers you could throw your stuff in.
They're in the first round of Super Reach. I don't know. Call me crazy. I think that they were just.
You know what those guys are about their equipment. I mean, you see what they do with their batting gloves and everything before every single swing.
They are. Baseball players are very OCD.
It's got to be just right, man. I don't know. Let's keep things rolling. Who's next, Bear?
Nate.
Nate, you're on Voluntary Reaction. What's up, man?
What's up, guys? Can you hear me?
We got Absolutely. You loud and clear.
Awesome. This is my first time calling, but I listen every day from Seattle, Washington. So,
wow.
Thank you guys for having me on.
Thank you.
Yeah. Do you think that they hit that home run if it's not raining in the second?
I thought that too, man. I
don't wonder, but I mean.
It'd be interesting to hear what Chad Dallas said about that because the ball had to have been hard to grip.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that when that was happening, and then they, of course, they call it right after
But
that.
Then again, but, it has to be hard to see, and it has to be hard to grip your bat. So, I mean, it's just a challenge all the way around.
Yeah. I want to ask about something that Bear said, and this is kind of what I was feeling the whole game, is the difference between Tennessee and Arkansas right now, the little things like we left the bases loaded in the sixth, we scored three runs in the sixth, but we had, you know, three walks, and you had the weird play at third and the weird play at second where the fielders just kind of screwed up. Do you think it's the – I mean, are you a little bit nervous at all that we didn't really play super well tonight and we kind of had some things handed to us? Are we playing enough winning baseball to be able to do something once we get to Omaha, assuming we make it there?
We're making too many errors, base running, fielding.
Leaving guys on base.
Yeah, little things, definitely. But this team makes up for it with just the it factor, the swagger, the chutzpah, whatever you want to call it. They've got it. But they've got enough to get through this, Nate. I really believe they've got enough to get to Omaha. Now, do they have enough to go on a run and win it all once they get there? I don't know about all that. But here's the thing. For all the you got to keep your cup fastened crowd, yeah, you could still lose this series, and that would suck. That would be a nut kick moment. That would be taking the cup off and just getting blasted right in the nards moment. I feel like, though, Bear, if we get past this, if we get to Omaha, at that point, it's all gravy, man.
Yeah.
I don't expect to win a national championship. It would be awesome, and I wouldn't put it past this group. But Vanderbilt and Arkansas are probably better teams on paper than we are. So I'm not going to – if we get to Omaha and don't win at all, I'm not going to sit there and say, oh, cup check moment, typical Tennessee choked when they got to the big stage. No, man. If we get to Omaha, this season – is an unqualified success no matter what happens.
Yeah. You guys, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for the show. Love listening.
Thank you, Nate. Appreciate you, man. I want to hear from somebody who was there. I want to know what the impact of the LSU fans there was. I want to know if that detracted from the atmosphere, added to it.
It just didn't appear to me to be the same makeup in the crowd is what I've gotten used to seeing throughout the season and then definitely last weekend. So
865.
Arizona's got a really nice park, don't they?
546-8200, your number to get up with us. 546-8200. If you want to jump in on the program tonight, it is your first ever baseball edition of the Voluntary Reaction. We do have a couple lines available right now. If you want to jump in, go ahead and take a shot. Tennessee, I don't want to say survive, just kind of grind one out tonight, 4-2, and they will take on LSU game two of the Knoxville Super Regional tomorrow, 3 p.m.
Tonight had more of a winners win, losers lose kind of game. This year, I mean, this team, they win.
You got to be wondering, what about their dude, Morgan, old Sideshow Bob over there, taking an 0 for today? 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts for Trey Morgan.
Did he get him just looking on that last one?
Got him looking. I believe 3 of them were looking. The first 2 were looking.
Well, I'm trying to remember if he even took a cut.
I mean, we had a couple of – we struck out – Fergie struck out looking to end an inning once really bad. Pavlone struck out looking.
Man, Hilliard kid, why did he pull him? I mean, I'm glad he did.
You think somebody, one of those LSU beat writers, had the guts to ask Maneri about that in their press conference? Paul, what the hell are you doing? Does your elevator go all the way up to the top floor? That kid and you yanked him?
Probably not that, but I'd be willing to bet they probably got somebody like, you know.
What are you doing?
like Trey that might say,
"Would you take Tennessee in the money line?"
Coach, can you walk me through what led to your decision to pull Hilliard when you did?
You're doing keg stands back there in the dugout or something? What are you doing, Maneri?
Did he feel did he have something in his shoulder, his elbow that twinged on him?
Or you just ate up with dumbass?
I feel like he'd answer my questions before he would yours.
All right, let's try A to Z next. A to Z, you're on Voluntary Reaction. What's up, man?
Hey, what's up, man? Hey, long time, first time.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to say I was there at the Environment last week. I was actually second row. I was right behind where Vitello came in and crashed. You know, was facing to the netting after the home run there.
Awesome.
Pretty exciting.
Were you there tonight?
No, didn't make it in tonight. Couldn't get tickets. You know, I tried to get in. Danny said it was the same process as the previous week. I disagree. You know, the previous week I was able to get them online via the internet. Super regionals, I had to call in over the phone. I could never get through. Called 113 times in 32 minutes. So
what's the matter? You feel like spending $600 for a ticket to go to the game tonight?
Yeah, right. I hear that. But no, I mean, it was a great environment last time. Super fun, and I wish I could have been there this time, but I didn't want to go hang out at the block party. But, you know, it is what it is.
Block party looked pretty fun, man.
No, it did, man, but they took my money last week on a bunch of $9 beers, so I was definitely out over $100 there. So, you know, I gotta cut my losses where I can.
I feel you.
Hey, did you see the crazy picture, though, they have of the cheese throwing a ball during the rain, water coming off his fingers, all that stuff?
Yeah.
Pretty insane.
Yeah, I can't believe they let that game just sort of roll as long as they did. But we made it through, man.
Right. Do we know what where the umps are from? Are they like – they're not SEC, I'm sure. They got to be like Big 12 or something. Any regulations there?
Yeah,
according to John Wilkerson, they were an SEC crew. Either John or Vince Wan said it on the radio. This was an SEC crew tonight.
Wow. Hey, what are the rules as far as the challenging goes? Like, I mean, I know we had the one early and then couldn't review it when his foot got hit on the foot. What's up with that?
Man, that's a great question. I would like I'm going to have to plead ignorance on this one.
I don't either.
Would you get one or two challenges a game?
It seemed like we challenged one and then got denied on it and then couldn't challenge again.
Yeah, and what was the one that we couldn't challenge on? I don't know if he got hit there. The other thing that I'm having trouble with is this whole – he got hit with the pitch in the knee. Did he lean into it? I don't think he did, but that's just something that I've never really seen. And I've come back to – I have not watched a lot of college baseball the last 15 years or so. But it seems like that's the second time we've seen that the past couple of weeks in a Tennessee game, them reviewing that. And it went against us. Last time, SEC tournament, they said that one of our guys, like he got hit in the elbow, and they said, "Oh, you didn't make an effort to get out of the way." And it's like, well,
is that Beck?
Used to be back in the day.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, you could lean. That's what they say: lean into it and take one for the team.
I used to do it all the time.
Get plunked on the shoulder and take your base.
I don't think it. I don't know. I mean, you don't turn and give up your back and let him hit you in the back or anything crazy like that.
The replays are. I mean, if we're gonna fuss about college basketball, them going to the booth, stopping the game. I mean, baseball it's a slow game to begin with. And at least five times a game, we got to stop the game so that the umpires can go over there and watch TV for 5 minutes. I don't know. I'd almost rather just go with the call on the field.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, I got another chant for the crowd tomorrow for Trey Morgan.
Oh,
there.
No.
Since he got the golden sombrero today, You know, they can just add to the repertoire there. But hey, it's just kind of disappointing how Lindsey Nelson, we got 4,000 capacity, and then you look at Mississippi State, another team in the SEC, they got 14,000 capacity. So when we do our renovations, what are we going to increase it to? How many boxes are we going to have? What kind of revenue can we generate there? That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. That's the questions that are being kicked around about right now. I mean, Danny White in his press conference this past week was asked about it, and it was very vague as far as just saying, look, I mean, we're talking with architects and designing things and everything. The renderings that you've seen out online that do look really nice does not sound exactly what they're going to be going with. But, I mean, I would imagine they're going to increase the capacity by at least 2,000 or 3,000 this
offseason. They've got to get up to 8. But whoever we had on that said, because it made a lot of sense, you don't want to make it too big.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could have put 15,000 or 20,000 in there tonight, no problem.
Yeah, but you ain't doing that regular season.
Not regularly.
I talked to a different reporter last week at the game, and he said there's talks that they could potentially flip the field and have home plate where center field is.
I'd be stunned if they did that. I mean, that's basically a whole new stadium.
Well, sure, but you already got that. You already got that seating there in the outfield. Then you've got a total blank slate for behind the field. You know,
yeah, but you're adding millions of dollars.
I'd be stunned if they did that. I mean, if you're starting from scratch and money's no problem, yeah, I mean that's what they would do because the sun sets at the correct angle and all that stuff, and it's probably a better use of the space geometrically. But that's just, I mean, you're talking about basically an entire new baseball stadium. At that point,
Do we want to keep Vitello? I do.
I don't think he's leaving. I mean, over something like that.
He wants improvements, which I agree. I mean,
you're talking about adding possibly. I would imagine at least $10 million to the tab.
Well, Florida built a new stadium 2 years ago for $50 million. And
Lindsey Nelson has pretty solid bones right now. It's got enough where they can, you know, they can do some really nice stuff over there and not have to.
Bear, they got 2 beer lines. That's not enough.
Well, I realize that, and trust me, that's how they're gonna.
That's brutal.
Operate in the black once they get it over there.
I went to probably five different series. I was able to go to LSU. I was able to go to Vanderbilt a couple times. Arkansas. Went to a couple games midweek, and getting a beer during the middle of the game, I mean, you miss an inning, maybe 2 innings just because.
Part of that is you got to know when to go.
I was at
the second Vanderbilt game. People everywhere. I was able to go out there and get 2 beers.
He's slick, though.
Just wait for the right time. As soon as that inning – as soon as a half inning ends, I'm sprinting.
That's too late.
I'm sprinting late. Up the aisle. Boom, I'm second in line. I'm back in my seat with a cold beer before the next inning starts.
That's why they call him the cerebral assassin, A to Z.
Got
to
be on your toes.
All right. I appreciate it, guys. Good stuff.
Thank you, A to Z. Great call. There's an art to it for sure.
Oh, certainly.
And I think it will be easier. I mean, look.
Trust me. They want to get as much beer
in
fans' hands as fast as they can and get the money out of your hands. That's why I don't think a lot of people are realizing it's the alcohol sales that's going to make all this stuff possible.
The box seats and if they build that double-decker porch, I mean, those are going to be expensive.
I mean, come on, how much they charge for beer over there?
I think somebody said $9, but
$9 for what,
13 or 14.
For a tall boy? I mean, they're making roughly at least $7 a beer, just straight cash.
The other thing that I think is going to be interesting is they do not have a lot of advertising in that stadium, which makes it look nice.
Yeah, I kind of like it, and I hope there's some way that they don't.
Oh, they're going to. You're going to have ads all over the board. Like, if you look at Vanderbilt, their stadium has ads in the outfield, minor league style. And if you go back and look in the 90s, we had a lot of ads on the outfield wall.
I don't know.
I feel you. I mean, it looks better. It looks classier without
them on there. Yeah, because I'm sitting here staring at over your shoulder because it's right in front of me, the Arizona Stadium. And it looks like, look at it right there. I mean, it looks like a pro park, man.
Well, you're looking at the backstop. I'm talking about the outfield wall.
Well, yeah, I know.
You got to monetize that stuff. There's a Regal ad, and it's very classy. It just says Regal, their logo, on the right field wall.
I mean, that's Regal.
That's pretty much all they've got, but I would
imagine. Well, they've got Coca-Cola, IBM.
Yeah.
Couple, yeah, I guess
you got to pay Vitello's salary, man. We got to get Frank Anderson a raise. We got to get a new weight room. We got to get new batting cages. We got to get indoor pitching facilities. We've got to get more seats in there. We've got to get outfield seats. We've got to get a bigger jumbotron. We've got to
get more beer lines for A to Z and his buddies.
We're talking tens of millions of dollars here, man. You got to.
I got you.
You got to monetize everything.
So I wonder if they're going to change it to where. It's behind the backstop is going to look more like this, more in line with like a pro park.
I think it looks pretty sharp.
You like the way it looks now?
Yeah. I do. I think it looks pretty sharp. Let's get Brad in Nashville in here next. What would a voluntary reaction be without a Brad in Nashville call?
Wouldn't be complete.
Gentlemen, do you, Russell, you remember what we said the last time that I talked to you was, well, damn it, it's the first day of the NCAA tournament, and now it's baseball season. Well, now it's baseball season, man. Welcome back to the winner's circle. That was a lot of fun. It was my wife's birthday. We went to a Sounds game. My dad, our whole family was there. Me and my dad, they got good Wi-Fi, so we were glued the entire game after the rain delay. We just sat there. I didn't see a damn pitch of the Sounds game. We were just sitting there watching the freaking balls. I don't know, just roll through LSU, and I know we swept them during the regular season. I was a little worried that it was just putting the cup on and they were just going to kick us in the nuts and send us home, but I mean, I love what I watch with these guys. Tony Vitello has a fun to watch team, and we're just killing it.
Oh man, what a blast. It's been a wild ride. It feels like there are a few more twists and turns left to come for Tony Vitello and the boys. I don't think this roller coaster of emotions is over yet. I think we have another twist or turn tomorrow. And then I think that we're going to Omaha. And who knows what the hell's going to happen out there.
No, man, we're just hanging out in Nebraska with house money. I know that tomorrow is not a formality. And there's an entire chance that the other shoe will drop at some point. But at this point, we've made a good showing at every chance that they've given us. Even with the whole ticket fiasco, it looked like a lot of fun to be there tonight. I was kind of worried that we'd have the octogenarians in there just sitting on their hands yelling at people for standing up, but that didn't seem to be the case. So glad to see that there weren't that many LSU people there, and we kind of owned our own house and made the statement, if you add another 3,000 or 4,000 seats to this place, then we're just going to fill it up with more of the same. So, I don't know, build the giant fake sun blocker like Mr. Burns did in The Simpsons and find a way to make it work with that facing into the sun all the time. But I love what we got going. We need to find a way to keep this guy. And there's no reason that we can't just make something out of this sport that hadn't really been around Tennessee in the past 15 years. That's the last time we went to Omaha, and they should get used to seeing us there. Because, like Vitello said, I mean, we're not coming anymore. We're here.
So. We're here.
I know, right? It's nice. It's nice to have conversations like this because we don't get to as much as we used to about the big two in the day. And this right here is, I don't know, it's fun, man. It's original and novel. And we're smacking the shit out of the ball. And I just want to see us keep killing it and sending people home crying. So. I don't know about you guys, but it's a lot of fun.
Oh, absolutely it is.
Oh, you know about us. You know about us, Brad, in Nashville. You called it every voluntary reaction, football, basketball, otherwise. You know what we've been through. You know how much we're loving this. I was hesitant.
I've been kicked in the nuts
I was hesitant to do this. Okay,
I talked to other people to make sure that it was real.
Yeah, I was hesitant to even do. Well, people have been asking for weeks now, all season long. When are you going to do a voluntary action? You got to do one for baseball, man. We got to have it. I'm like, do you know what kind of bad mojo that could release into the atmosphere here in East Tennessee? I don't know if that's a good thing, but so far so good.
Yeah. So we got this rolling. He's got a top 10, top 5 class coming in next year. Basketball has a top, 2 class coming in next year. And football, it'll be football. But at least, I don't know, there's some sunny days on the horizon. Not the big sports still wavering a little bit, but at least we got some other crap to cheer about to get us by until somebody can figure something out. But once again, you guys are doing the Lord's work. Thanks for hanging out. And love you guys. I'm still listening, so take it easy.
Love you too, Brad. Have a great evening out there in the mid-state. Brad jumps off. That creates lines available. We still have not heard from anybody who was at the game. I want to hear about it, man. What was it like down there, Bald Nation? We got lines available right now if you want to jump in. 865-546-8200.
Was Crest down there?
00 is your number. 546-8200. If you want to get in, Fan Run was very well represented. Houston was down there. Big John Reed was down there. Rick Butler got a lot of FaceTime on ESPN2.
How'd Butler tonight. Get a ticket?
Where, Butler,
we're,
man.
We're gonna, he's we got, cut he's his well salary.
He's well connected.
We're paying him too much if he can get down there.
He was down there. So
I mean, Kress is a big baller. It's no surprise that he made it in.
Did you know that Tennessee is undefeated now in the Super Regional?
Yeah, but you keep in mind that we've only been to, 3?
Yes. Never lost.
Yeah, I mean, we're 5-0. That's a really cool picture. Have you seen that graphic they put out?
With Cheese?
Yeah.
Giving the primal guttural scream.
He kind of looks like Squints Poledaris grown up on steroids,
yeah.
Doesn't he?
Yeah. Looks like one of the kids from Sandlot.
Just grown up. His glasses, Wendy Peppercorn.
Are you are we worried about Vitello? He said we got to keep this guy. I've kind of put that to the side.
Yeah, I'm not.
And what if we bounce these dudes? What if we bounce LSU tomorrow 2-0, and you know those crazy Cajuns are down there. They're watching this and thinking, man. That's what we want. We want that young guy who gets the crowd fired up.
They don't like that guy down there. And apparently he hasn't spoken to them. Supposedly he went and met with Texas A&M in person like last week.
Who said that? I think that's somebody trolling online. I don't think that happened.
Give me a minute and I'll look it up.
Yeah, I mean, if you could show me a credible report that Vitello met with A&M, I'll take that back. But I'd be stunned if he did that during the season. Wow. I'm pretty confident he's staying, but I wouldn't put it past LSU to, especially if we go ahead and sweep them out the dough, to say, you know what, we want that guy. Here's $2.5 million a year, as much money as you want for your assistants, whatever you want to do with these facilities, we'll do it for you. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that. But then we just got to come back harder, man, because you cannot let Anthony Vitello walk out that dough. Can't do it. Let's go back to the phones. Joe is up next. What's up, Joe?
Going on, guys?
Hey, Joe,
what's
how you doing?
On?
Not much. How you doing, bud?
Oh man, just living the life after that game tonight. That was fantastic. What do you guys think?
Oh man, it was just what the doctor ordered, man. Just win. It doesn't have to be pretty. You know, no home runs. We had an error. We had a couple of mistakes. All that stuff. But you know what else we had? 2 more runs than they did. That's all that matters.
That's exactly right. And they got lucky to get those 2 runs that they got, really, to be completely honest about it. And I mean, like when Chad Dallas getting that first one in an absolute downpour monsoon, that when they hit that home run, and then Pav, I don't even know what was Pav doing on that throw to third base. That was crazy.
Yeah, I almost wish he just held on to that, just giving him the base. Because we end up getting out of the inning, and I know that changes the calculus, and then a fly ball, a sack flies in play, and all that stuff. They might very well have scored anyway, but the chances of you throwing that guy out at – and that was their leadoff hitter, I believe, wasn't it? That was Cruz, their leadoff man. Like, you're not throwing that guy out. He probably should have just held on to that. And the other side of that, it was a bad throw, but Rucker needs to catch it anyway. And just everything that could go wrong went wrong on that play.
Well, and it was combined with their error with that guy that was trying to tag. I don't even know who that was that was trying to run the third and just completely missed that and then threw it to first and then completely missed on that one too. So we kind of ended up sort of getting that one back there a little bit later in the game. But was there at the game. We were in prime position there. I think we really got after that 49. The Hilliard guy pitched pretty well tonight. The McHale or whatever.
Oh, he was lights out.
Yeah, he was really good tonight. I was surprised.
Yeah, I mean the turning point of the game was definitely the sixth inning when they took him out, because he was performing well. He had only thrown 76 pitches, and I know he pitched last weekend, but this is when you got a guy that's cruising. Like if Tidwell, if he's cruising for us tomorrow and he gets that 100 pitch mark, if he's pitching well, you leave him in. You win the game, man. You don't take your starting pitcher out if he's pitching well. And for whatever reason, God bless him, Maneri did, and we were able to touch up their reliever, Coleman, and it cost them the ballgame. I really believe that. I think if they leave Hilliard in, he probably gets through at least another inning or two, and then maybe they don't go to Coleman. Maybe they go directly to their closer, Fontenot, and maybe we can't get to him. Maybe they win.
I agree 100%. And the other thing that I thought that I got out of today is, well, I had a lot of fun giving Cade Beloso a really hard time of calling him Cade Beloso. And he was literally, I think we had him rattled because we were two rows behind the home plate. There's no way he didn't hear us tonight.
All right, he was
throwing his helmet into the dugout at one point in time. It was so funny. And then Trey Morgan, he did not do anything tonight either, and that was huge because he killed us in that first series against us.
All right, so you were at the game tonight. Were you at the regional last weekend?
Oh, yeah, for sure, yeah.
How did the atmosphere tonight compare to last week?
I think it was pretty comparable, honestly. I think, kind of like last week, the crowd sort of, like has an idea of, when to kind of get up and get rowdy. And whenever, we were kind of getting after them there in that sixth inning, we scored those three runs. Was that the sixth inning, right?
Yes.
Bottom of the six. So whenever we got after them in that third inning, or in that sixth inning, everybody got up and was just getting after them. And that pitcher, you could tell, was just I don't want to be in this spot right now. And what that did with the rain delay was, I think, at least to let some people get out and, get a little bit more lubricated to get back in there after it was all said and done. Including myself, I'm not saying anything, but I'm just saying maybe I got a little bit more lubricated when I got out there. But anyway, when we got back in there, it was so much fun. It was just a blast. When that freaking sixth inning came around, everybody was up, everybody was on their feet, the whole place. It was freaking awesome.
So the more LSU fans in there than Liberty or Wright State had last week, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So they have that whole spot, kind of up there where everybody always is, up there kind of behind home plate, wherever, kind of up there towards the top. And it looked like they got some general admission or something over there towards the right field line way down there. They were in there, but they were all in good spirit. I mean,
that makes it fun, to be completely honest about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no, that's what I was saying earlier. Some people are complaining about that. Oh, they shouldn't let those guys in. Sometimes that makes it more – that adds to the intensity and the atmosphere overall when you've got a rival fan base in there. Now, you don't want too many. You don't want them taking over your stadium like Alabama did Neyland a couple of times. But if you've got enough in there to make a little noise, and sometimes that's fun.
No, I mean, I thought it was really a good mixture. I mean, all of them that I've encountered with, generally in the beer lines, oddly enough, you know, that's just kind of how that works, I guess. But they were all really fun. We kind of hammed it up, you know, here and there. And I thought it was just right. I mean, you want it like a little bit in there. You want a little animosity, and they were in there, you know, cheering for their team. And when they'd say LSU, then we could kind of come back with the LSU. You know, and that kind of business. So it was a good little back and forth there throughout the game. And it was a good time. It was fun to be able to as close as we were. And I know we were giving them hell tonight. We're getting after them out there tonight.
Awesome, great stuff, my man. Thanks for the phone call and the description of the events inside Lindsey Nelson Stadium tonight, Joe. Appreciate you so much, man. Have a great evening.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for being there.
Thank you. Voluntary reaction rages on. Here's we get our first eyewitness account from the stadium tonight. A little over an hour in, and we'll keep this thing going as long as y'all keep calling in, man. I felt like it might be a quick kind of thing, but here we are. It's after midnight. And we're going to let it all hang out. Fan Run Radio. Fan Run style. Texas has walked it off. Longhorns take down South Florida. The walk-off double in the bottom of the ninth. Game one of the Austin Super Regional. They'll play game two tomorrow down there as the other UT, trying to have a similar type season to the real UT. Let's get Brad in here next. Brad, you're on Voluntary Reaction. What's up, man?
Hey, fellas. Brad from Crossville checking in from Florida. How y'all doing this evening?
Hey, doing well, my friend. How are you?
Doing wonderful. Hey, first of all, it's great to be actually calling in the show without having to rage out. So that's a nice change of pace.
It's kind of weird, man. I'm struggling to adjust to it myself.
It's different, but, you know, it's enjoyable. I'm liking it. You know, I did. I enjoyed that game. I don't know. I mean, you know, maybe it's just my low baseball IQ or whatever. I don't know. But I have a question. Like, it seems to me like every time, like, you know, when the opposing teams at bat, they hit one to left center field, seems like we always throw it across the field and try and get the runner out at first. I mean, you know, why is that? Yeah, I mean, do you guys have any idea about that? You know, I mean, somebody maybe educate me on that. Or,
I'm sorry, say that again now one more time.
It seems to me like, you know, like the ball goes to left center field, and then if you've got a runner on first, runners moving from first to second, instead of throwing it to second base to get that runner out, it seems like we always try and throw all the way across the field to first.
Are you talking about on like a fly ball?
Yeah, I mean, have you guys noticed that? Just anything, like where it grounds out or anything. Just, I don't know if you
Well, a fly ball, if you've got a runner tagging up that you know, he
No, would. It's not a fly ball. It may be a line drive. You know, it bounces and hops, and then, you know, the guy catches it, and then it seems like they always try and throw it over to first. I didn't know if there was some strategy behind that or, you know, something like that. I'm just curious about that.
I'd have to, I guess, know more about the specific plays. I mean, that's odd. If a ball goes to the outfield, generally outfielder's not going to try and throw a base runner out at first base. But sometimes, I mean, if you're talking about an infielder and there's a runner on first and you've got a chance for a double play, but you're going to try and take the sure out if you're not sure you can get.
Yeah, you know, to me, it always seems like it's the second. But, I mean, like I said, I don't know. It might be my low baseball IQ. I don't really know about that. I just something I was curious about, but I'm really enjoying this win, man. It's nice, and this state is just, they're hungry for some, you know, for something to grab a hold of, a winner to grab a hold of and cheer for, and it's been nice to see this, and it's been really nice to see
baseball kind of putting the spotlight it's been put in, because, I mean, it you know, if you can get in and attach to a team, it really is. It's an enjoyable, fun sport to watch. I mean, it really is. There's nothing else like it.
It's unique. It's unique.
It's
a fun time, and it's a growing sport. And it's not as big as football, and it's not as big as basketball. Nobody's saying it is. But it's a growing sport, and I believe that with TV and the need to fill this inventory on the SEC Network and all these different channels, I feel like the demand is going to continue to grow. And I could see a day when this is more than just a quote-unquote niche sport that is drawing big numbers on TV and stuff. It's not there yet, certainly not, but the more schools and fan bases that get really interested in it, like we have, the more that's going to continue to grow.
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. And I say nothing but great things for this team in the years to come. I mean, if Tony B sticks around, I mean, this team's going to go places. And he's going to take this sport, I mean, in this, as far as, you know, Knoxville and Tennessee is concerned, he's going to take it to new levels. I mean, just more, I feel like more and more people are going to get interested in it. More and more people are going to start following it. And I feel like, you know, maybe, you know, the stadium expansion and things like that, they might actually eventually end up one day paying for themselves, you know, if we can keep this thing rolling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the key is you build some luxury box and the amenities and stuff like that. And, I mean, Tennessee fans have shown they will show up. If you keep winning, you invest in this program, they will be there.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, we've been hungry for a winner for a long time. We've kind of been in a drought here for a while. I mean, basketball has been good, but not great. And, you know, and like we've got a glimpse of greatness right now with this baseball team, and like see something that's kind of special and that could actually go places. And I think it means a lot to people in Tennessee.
Yep. Good stuff, my man, Brad. Appreciate you calling in. Good to hear from you.
Hey, one more thing.
Yeah.
I know you guys are close with Tony Vitello. You guys might have his number. I'm trying like hell to get my sister-in-law out of my house. Is that anybody you give me his digits so I can give them to her? Maybe those two could hook up.
Just send me, tell you what, you send me some pictures and you know, I'll forward them along. And I can't make any promises, but we'll put the bug in his ear. Thank you, Brad. Appreciate it. Ladies do love them some Tony V. That's the first time I've ever heard somebody offering up a family member. But I mean, that's what the volunteer reaction is here for. It's to
sure
break new ground, a lot of firsts, things of that nature. Oh my goodness, man! What a ride! 865-546-8200 if you want to jump in this afternoon. Volunteer your action, the first ever baseball edition of it. Tennessee and LSU go again tomorrow at 3 p.m. A trip to Omaha on the line for Tony Vitello and the Baseball Vols. It has been 16 long years since Tennessee's been to the College World Series. They will try to make it back tomorrow. One win away.
Do you hear that?
What?
The banging?
No.
Okay. Why you keep looking out there?
Because you're looking out there.
Because I keep hearing something bang on that front door.
Really?
Yeah.
Think somebody's out there?
I don't know.
Should we just ignore it? I can see the window. I don't see anybody out there.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll just ignore it.
Probably
who the hell would want to mess with us?
Probably not somebody. Yeah, we don't want to communicate with at 12:11.
No, huh?
On a Sunday morning.
Ole Miss is lighting that ass up on Arizona.
Good for them. Why didn't Bianco? Why did he not go play for his dad at Ole Miss? He just loves LSU that much.
You got me.
It's strange. Boy, he tore us up, man. Three for four for the LSU center fielder against the Volunteers today. Two stolen bases.
What about that strikeout and then the gun? Pavlone. Pavlone did kind of
atone for himself at that point.
Well, he didn't launch that one out in the outfield. But yeah, he did atone because that got us out of that was a jam waiting to happen right there. And boom, I thought that play right there kind of – was that the eighth? That was the top of the eighth, wasn't it? They'd gotten a leadoff single.
There was
one on, no outs.
We got two strikeouts, right? No, we had one strikeout. Then we had a strikeout, throw them out.
And then a strike them out, throw them out. And it was like, boom, the inning – that half of the inning was over. And I think that just put a stake in their heart.
Roberto is next. What's up, Roberto?
What do you say, gentlemen? How are you?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing well. Can you hear me okay? Just want to make sure.
You sound unusually good. I mean, just crystal clear.
Usually
fantastic.
It's like listening to
Here in God's country, once everybody hangs up their phones, you can actually get reception. So
nice.
Wonderful.
I like it.
Russ, I love how you said on the drive or on the VR this afternoon. It is afternoon. It's also after midnight at this point. But it's after tomorrow.
Did I say afternoon?
The day of
tomorrow. Yeah, it's always afternoon, technically.
Man, so guys, if you'd believe it, I just was walking around down there tonight outside the game, and this nice lady at the gate was like, would you like to go in? And I was like, yes, ma'am. And she's like, go ahead.
Do what?
After the rain delay. I was like, I mean, this lady just gave me $500 is basically what she did. And I was like, are you sure? She's like, yeah, go ahead.
Were you hanging out at the block party or?
Yeah. And I just walked past the gate, and the lady saw me there last week. I had this hat, and she remembered my hat and was like, do you want to go in? I said, yeah.
Can I borrow that
hat
tomorrow?
I got to watch the – here's what's fantastic, gentlemen. Are you sitting down? We were trailing 2-1 when Bobby walks up in there, and that was at the top of the sixth. Guess what happened? We just lit him up, gentlemen. Bottom of the sixth.
Good luck, Roberto.
I'm not taking credit for the win. But I am saying we've never lost with Roberto in the stadium, ever.
So many people trying to play that card and hope somebody will take him to the game. You're not the first one to try that trick, Roberto. But I do hope you get in tomorrow.
I have tickets tomorrow, big guy. I'm not worried about that.
All right. Well, hopefully the streak continues.
Let us hope. But it was really interesting to be in the game tonight, as there is just this air in our fan base of Stockholm syndrome, you know, like we're like, okay, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. We're just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah.
Just waiting for the other, because we're so Tennessee. I mean, the most Tennessee thing ever is that Chiefs was throwing absolute BBs and gives up a home run because they made him trot out in an absolute torrential monsoon and pitch, which, guys, I played a lot of baseball at a decently high level, and I never have seen a team play in the kind of rain we were playing in the second inning, ever in my life. I watch a lot of baseball, hundreds of games a year, and I've never seen that before. So it was interesting. And, you know, but, man, the way he battled after that home run was truly incredible. I mean, I really didn't think he'd have a great game, and he was the best player on the field tonight. He was the best player on the field, and that was huge for Tennessee because their pitcher I forget his last name, McHale, man, he pitched a hell of a game too.
Yeah, he did.
And I couldn't believe they took him out an inning too early, in my opinion.
Yep.
That's just my opinion.
Yep. They gave us life, man. We were struggling.
Yep. So I was with some LSU fans, I was with some LSU fans, and they were all over their boards, and you know, they're a pretty big baseball fan base, and they were livid. They brought in number 49. 49's apparently a freshman and has pitched very few innings this year. Very few. And they were just livid. They're like, what in the hell are we doing? We're trying to give the game away. And they did. He pitched like a freshman, and he got lit up like a freshman. And our guys did what they do, and that's pick each other up. I mean, we've had two, you know, Rucker and Beck have essentially, they've kind of sucked the postseason. They have not been good, especially in NCAA tournament. And they were just hitting ropes tonight, and they scored two runs, and ultimately there and Beck had a RBI as well. I mean, they're basically the guys who won the game for us, you know. and our pitching is just solid top to bottom. We get good innings from guys who don't have – I'll just say this. We don't have guys with dominant stuff. No. We don't.
Well, our one guy –
with dominant stuff is tomorrow
we do.
Night.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only guy we have with dominant stuff is going tomorrow night. And it feels damn good to know that we got Blade Tidwell on the mound hitting the bump tomorrow night with a chance to go to Omaha. Guys, like, let's not Stockholm this. Let's really enjoy it because I really think we're going to win tomorrow night. I thought we were – actually, I'm being honest. I thought we were going to lose tonight. I really did. Before the game, I really felt like we were going to lose.
Me too.
Just because it's very Tennessee to lose a game like tonight.
Bear, what did I tell you Monday, Bear? Nobody can hear you. You got to turn your mic on, buddy.
You were afraid we were going to lose.
No, I said, you know we're going to lose, right? You know we're going to.
Yeah, because I wanted LSU.
Part of that is just, you know, it's battered ball syndrome, but it's also like playing the other side. I've tried to set myself up easy.
You do what Phil does.
Yeah. But it's also, it's LSU, man. It's what they love making us miserable. I'm still not 100% confident we're going to get out of this thing.
Just look at the statistics. I mean, statistically speaking, Tennessee has a very, 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 very good shot at going to Omaha. It's like 86% if you win the first game. So, and I mean, Blade Tidwell on the bump tomorrow night. You've still got Cam Sewell coming out of in long relief if something were to go haywire. He's probably the second or third best pitcher on the staff right now. I feel really confident about tomorrow night. Guys, I wouldn't be surprised if we come out and we walk the dog tomorrow night.
Awesome.
I mean, just dropping bombs. But let me tell you why we won that game tonight. And this is why LSU lost, okay? It's very simple. The ball travels, especially when it's hot, in Lindsey Nelson. The ball travels more, okay? And in those early innings, Cheese kept the ball down, okay? And their pitcher did a great job of that. But when the ball – here's the deal. When they brought that freshman in, he was throwing the ball higher in the zone. It was still very hot out there. It wasn't excruciatingly hot. But – it was still hot, and he was throwing the ball higher in the zone than our two pitchers. So Cheese and then Hundley kept the ball very, very, very low in the zone, and they kept throwing their off-speed stuff away. And they had, I mean, in my opinion, and I watch a lot of baseball, I just think our pitchers outthought their hitters. Now, they gave that last one a ride in the ninth inning, but the reason that ball didn't go out is because that guy couldn't get all of it. He couldn't get every bit of it because it was away. If he went oppo twice in that game and out of the park, because I think it was the same guy who hit the home run earlier. I could be wrong. I had about seven beers by that point. But I just, you know, good on him. But after we scored those runs, I never thought we were going to lose because Hundley is a machine. He's a machine. His dad stood next to me for the last three innings of that game, and his dad never once broke a sweat. I loved it. I love watching his dad watch his son pitch because he knew. It was so cool. He's like, yeah, we're going to win. Because my kid's not going to give up any runs. That's happening. It was so cool to watch a dad be that confident in his kid. Man, guys, I hope you have a great night. Thanks for letting me share my story. Let's go get one tomorrow. Let's go to Omaha. And if we do win, can we please get Peyton Manning screaming Omaha and Lindsey Nelson? That would be hilarious. Take care.
Thank you, Roberto. Great to hear from you, my friend. Roberto, undefeated at Tennessee baseball this year. He'll be in the house tomorrow. Tennessee tries to make 6-0 all time in the super regional. Oh, man. That's fantastic.
It's like your boy lost tonight, Diaz.
Nate Diaz lost the decision to Leon Russell.
Leon Edwards. Leon Russell?
I like Leon Russell better. Walking the tightrope.
A song for you.
Oh. Song, Donny Hathaway did a great version of that one.
Really?
Russell. We were alone and I was singing this song.
I don't think anybody does it better than Leon.
Pretty good.
Diaz about knocked Edwards' ass out. And then he got, I mean, it was close. You see it?
Yeah, I saw the highlight you sent me. Is Adesanya about to go? That's probably going on right now.
Probably.
Oh, man. Put the finishing touches on the first ever voluntary reaction. We'll be back with you, folks, as soon as it's over tomorrow. Doing it again. Doing the thing. And hopefully, we'll be punching our tickets to Omaha. So, Roberto gave me an idea. And
now, wait a minute. If this game doesn't start till 10 o'clock.
It starts at 3, Bear.
Somebody sent me a...
It starts at 3.
Okay.
Starts at 3. And if it started at 10, you know what? My ass would be right here about 1 a.m. getting set to give you all I got.
I'd be in the recliner.
Okay. I'll be here doing it myself if I have to. I'll do it myself. I'll do it live.
All right. I'll do it live.
So I went to old tigerdroppings.com.
Oh, no.
You want to hear what the Tigers are saying about it?
Tears, they're bitter.
So they got their game story here. LSU drops game one of Super Regional versus Tennessee. And then they've got the comments turned on. Tiger fan 235 says, why pull Hilliard from the game when he was hot? Soon as he did that, the game changed. Southside Dell says, don't worry, one more game, then a new era begins. They're already out of that, dude. They're done. Fans are anyway. Gone Fishing 21 says, remember when people said that before we won four games in a row and won a regional? Yeah, you ain't playing. Oregon Ducks aren't walking out there tomorrow. Yeah.
Who else?
Gone Fishing 21.
Who else do they play?
I don't even know.
What was their, their SEC record's like, what, 13 and 18? I mean, they legit, I wondered if they were even going to make the regionals.
Cane Break Cajun says, why pull Hilliard?
That's the one thing. That was their shot.
LSU Theodore says, damn, we had him on the ropes, coach. And then I go to the message board, Tiger Rant.
Yeah.
They're Jimmy's at Russell's. Oh, yeah.
What are they pissing and moaning about?
It's like Vol Nation after just about any time Jeremy Pruitt stalked to the sideline. Vol Nugs. Shout out to the Vol Nugs boys. What's the worst all-time Vol Nugs meltdown you can remember, Bear? The night Kiffin left?
Yeah, but it wasn't – that was – it was Vol's – I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it was still Vol's bitch at that point.
What?
Yeah, it was the name of the message, volsbitch.com. And then it became Feels Like 98. Yeah, I think that was when Shedhead owned it. I'm pretty sure if I'm getting my board history correct.
Maneri responds to questions about pulling Hilliard. Quote, last weekend we went to Javen pretty early, and he pretty much dominated the game. I was happy to get 5 innings out of McHale. He was outstanding. Yes, he was, coach. he was pretty good.
Liked him even better when he was in the dugout with ice on his arm.
He was pretty good.
You idiot. Complete.
God, what a moron.
Bumbling moron. That's like Butch Jones level dipshittery.
Well, the one thing that we have criticized Vitello on this year is that he leaves his guys in too long.
Yeah, he's really slow on the hook.
And it's a thin line, right, between taking him out too early, leaving him in too long.
Yeah.
But what are you doing, man? The guy's straight dealing. Didn't you just about strike out the side the previous inning?
Yeah.
And you've got the top of the order coming up. He's already struck out Spence twice. And I guess the Coleman did strike out Spence to start the inning, and you're thinking, oh, shit, this guy's dealing too. But
– yeah, when he faced Spence, I thought we were in for it.
Yeah, he's throwing heat.
John Wilkerson said something about just what an absolutely nasty pitch it was. He said the movement was really, really late, and it crossed the plate, strike. And I thought, oh, shit, we're screwed. This kid's going to deal on us like Coop does from Arkansas. And next thing you know, well, he almost drilled. Who did he almost drill in the head when he lost control of his fastball? That's got to be scary as hell. You look out there and realize the guy really wasn't throwing at you, but he almost drilled you in the head with the 95-mile-an-hour fastball. I think that's a lot worse than somebody who you look out there and know, he went high and tight on you because he's mad at you. Hey, it'd be a lot more scary to me if that guy on the mound just has no control. It's throwing that hard. Pretty hard to stand in there.
All right, wrapping up. Last call, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump on Voluntary Reaction, speak now, forever hold your peace. So we wrap up the festivities early, the wee hours of Sunday morning. Might have to do something I haven't done in a long time, Bear.
Go to Crystal?
Might be time.
I don't know, man. I think I've finally broken Crystal's hold over me.
There might be time. They still got those crunchy apple pies?
Yeah, they're good.
You know, I've been, in case you're wondering, I've been really gassy like the last 48 hours or so, last 2 days.
Well, why the hell are you telling me this?
Blasting. I'm okay now.
I'm glad. Rick Butler.
I've been polite. This isn't NOM. There are rules. I'm not just going to blast in a small room with another person in here.
It's unfortunate.
Two guys in a small room. Somebody farts. Everyone knows who did it.
I mean, hell, there for a while, it was what, me, you, Chance, four of us in a room, and he just would bomb us every afternoon.
Well, I don't know. Is this a good idea to go to Crystal? I mean, I don't need to wake up Sunday and my first act is just...
I don't know. The one near my house closes at midnight right now.
Really?
Because they're understaffed. Yeah.
Well, maybe that'll answer it for me.
Who's that crazy kid from Ole Miss that does all the weird... is it this guy? Doug Nahasey? Have you seen what this guy does?
No.
He gesticulates and makes all kinds of crazy faces at the batter.
I don't like this trend of the pitchers with the long laces dangling off the glove.
Why? Who cares?
Why can't you just cut it off and have your glove looking good?
Why did Tom Morello from with the guitar, Rage never snip the ends of his strings?
Because I feel like the music would have been better. I don't know, man. It's annoying. It's distracting. Maybe that's it. They want to distract the hitter.
Unpopular opinion here. Tom Morello, incredibly overrated as a guitar player. Incredibly.
I would agree with that. Rage is one of those bands at the time. I didn't really like them. It just felt like a little too contrived for me. But now, 20 years later, when I'm rocking out the Sirius XM Lithium, and Rage comes up. Oh, yeah. Crank that. Crank it.
I still don't like him. I didn't like him back then because I was listening to the Big O, but I don't know. That rap rock shit, it just.
Shout out to Rick Butler. Rick's dad tried to call into the show, but said the wait was too long. He could call in right now, get right in. We open lines.
Hey, we're going. It's going quick. The Bear's running out of gas, buddy.
You sleepy?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, and here's the other thing. So on the way down here, my low beam headlights, like my right one went out yesterday. My left one went out today. So I've got to use my bright lights all the way to the house.
Really?
Yeah. The car's going in the morning. I'll have them fixed in the morning, but, you know. I don't know. So what do you think I ought to do?
I guess you have to ride home with your brights, man. You can't ride home with no headlights. You get pulled over. Or, you know, crash. Which wouldn't be good either. Beat Figueredo, I guess, in the flyweight. We got a new flyweight champ in UFC. All right, man, let's get out of here. I go home and watch the Adesanya fight.
Yeah,
folks,
I'm gonna sleep.
It's been a pleasure, man. How awesome. How awesome was today? How awesome was the entire day? Y'all rest up. Rest up, because tomorrow we drink from the keg of glory once again. Say it with me. Omaha. Have a great night, everyone. For Bear, I'm Russell. The first ever baseball voluntary reaction in the books. We'll do it again tomorrow right here on Fan Run Radio.